All right, the tweets at Baseball Marty. I know I've alluded to them a couple times just before we get to Jack Magruder. Joe Millwood, the sound of your voice talking Giants baseball today is as beautiful as the actual crack of the actual bet. Joe, thank you for that one. R.C. Collins, tell us what your radio schedule is for the first weekend. 10 a.m. Saturday, because we are an hour ahead of you. So it'll be a two-hour pregame, and the postgame, same thing. It'll be 2 hours, and you know, John and the guys, they get out of there really quickly. So we'll get a two-hour postgame in just about when the game ends. Nessie, something about hearing at Baseball Marty on the radio means it's spring. I appreciate that. Tina, CSN Bags is a good balance of baseball talk with Baseball Marty. Great wisdom from both. And a number of tweets like that. So, you know, I appreciate it. And let me tell you, it's great to be back. I'm thrilled to be back. It's been it's kind of a short winter, honestly. But then again, it was forever. You know, these last couple of weeks, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to the story. And the story, the first thing you have to do is win the National League West or get in the playoffs. And the teams in the West, the Dodgers, Mattingly says the Giants are the class of the division. We've got to go past them. Jack Magruder covers the Arizona Diamondbacks for Fox Sports down here. He's a longtime baseball writer. And, Jack, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Marty. Nice to be here.
Yeah, really. And, you know, for the fans up in the Bay Area, and you've covered baseball down this way for a long time, what do you make of the makeover, so to speak, of the Arizona Diamondbacks? Did it have to happen? Did they really have to kind of blow it up and do it again?
I do think it had to happen, Marty, and I think it was a good thing to do. I think they made their team better. I think they made their team more versatile. I think with Cody Ross and Martin Prado, and you'll see the newcomer Adam Eaton in center field, they found more ways to score runs. You know, they're not, they were a predominantly a home run hitting team. They'd score their runs predominantly through home runs. And you're going to have that down here at Chase Field because, you know, the ball flies down here. But they were looking for another way to score runs. And I think those three guys especially will give them that element of putting the ball in play, stealing bases, taking the extra base, you know, doing the little things, moving the runners. You didn't get a lot of that with, and not to knock on the players that used to be here, Justin Upton, Chris Young. They struck out an inordinate amount of times, and these new players, their track records are not that way. And the Diamondbacks wanted to do that. And, you know, the other guys will have great years. Chris Young will have a great year in Oakland because he's a great defender and a great, good player, good home run hitter. But they liked, you know, they kind of followed the San Francisco mold. KT, Kevin Towers in San Diego, they won with pitching in a bullpen and scratching out runs. The Giants win, they believe, with pitching, defense, and just enough offense, and that's what the D-backs were trying to model themselves after. How's that for a long answer?
Yeah, no, it's a good one. You know, the Giants kind of do it by necessity in the ballpark. The way they're built, they have to play that kind of ball in the ballpark. But this ballpark down here, Chase Field, I mean, the ball flies, so if you have the home run hitters, why not take advantage of it? But they clearly are trying to do a very similar thing, and Towers has always had a good bullpen, and I respect that about him and putting the bullpen together. But why does Justin Upton, he was so young and the number three, number four hitter, and for what they got for him, Martin Prado is an outstanding player. He's, you know, didn't he get his extension already? I think he did.
Yeah, they gave him a four-year, $40 million extension, right?
Yeah, so he's here. But why did Upton have to go?
Well, I mean, have to might be a little strong of a phrase. But, you know, they've seen him here for 6 years. And I think the potential, you know, he had a terrific year in 2011 when they won the division, surprisingly, behind Kirk Gibson in his first year. Fourth in the National League MVP. 30 home runs, 89 RBIs. But I just think they wanted, I mean, you saw Cody Ross in 2010. That's who's going to replace Justin Upton. And Cody Ross is a more of a, you know, not to slam Justin, but more of a clutch player perhaps, more of a grinded out dirtbag kind of player perhaps. In fact, I called him a dirtbag the other day and he kind of laughed at it. You know, he likes that. He likes being that kind of guy. But I think, you know, they had seen Justin for 6 years, and I think they felt, you know, maybe a change of scenery was good. You know, he's He's been labeled with all that potential for so many years. A great arm, well, he never threw anybody out. You know, great defensive player, well, there's some balls that dropped on the warning track.
Okay.
I think that his the perception of him around the nation maybe is a little higher than if you watch him play all the time. And again, he's a fine player, but they just wanted to move on.
All right. No, you're here. Jack Magruder covers the Diamondbacks, so it's good to get your perspective on it. The other trade they made brought Gregorius, the shortstop, and he's got those long arms, the spider, you know, it's short. I love these kind of shortstops. But he's got a bad elbow, and he probably will start the season on the DL, a very young hitter who we saw in the fall league down here. But Trevor Bauer was traded, and, of course, that was their big pick out of UCLA and kind of a weird guy in his workout routine. And Miguel Montero, the catcher, said, hey, you know, he's a rockhead. I can't even talk to him. And then the other guy they threw into that trade was Brian Shaw, who I liked a lot.
Yeah.
In the bullpen, and they did get a lefty back. They finally got a lefty, and that is Tony Sipp. So you want to talk about that trade a little bit?
Kind of a rockhead. You know, they weren't sure. I mean, Trevor was dominating in college. He blew everybody away. But he, as Miggy alluded to, and it's fair, as Miggy alluded to when he talked to KTR down here at FanFest, he didn't listen. He wanted to do things his way. Now, on his behalf, his way had been very, very successful in college, but this was the next level, and it just didn't play very well. He's his own man. He kind of is a, I don't know, loner is not the right word, but just he doesn't mind his own company, and he was unwilling to take advice, and that's not to say in the future he won't get over that, and he'll learn how to adapt and learn how to pitch in the majors and bring that stuff with him every time he starts. But I think his load of eccentricities was just a little too much for them to carry right now. And they did want a shortstop. They are looking. Once Stephen Drew went to Oakland last August, they were pretty thin at the shortstop position in their organization. And Didi Gregorius, like you said, they saw him play in the fall league. Great defender, great arm, good range. Has not done a lot of hitting yet, but, you know, he's only played a half a year above AA. So they were willing to make that, prospect for prospect trade, understanding that, A, they had some pretty good young pitchers in their system, B, they needed a shortstop, and the component of Tony Sipp. They haven't had two lefters in the bullpen for 10 years, and they needed that. They wanted that. You know, they saw how the Giants have prospered with Javi Lopez and Jeremy Affeldt and those guys, and they wanted to get a couple of those guys so they could do so well in the situations. You know, I thought when they picked up Javier Lopez and Cody Ross in 2010, when Sabian did that, that was just smart, terrific, getting the guys that would fit his team. You know, you don't have to be a superstar; you just got to fit a role. And those guys did it. And I, you know, they're going to use Tony Sipp, I think, in a lot of situations as the Giants use Javier Lopez and try to, you know, get some innings out of him this way. The other left-hander from Colorado, Reynolds, will be, he'll be another guy they can turn to. But they liked their components, and they weren't sure about Bauer's future, I think it's fair to say.
All right, very good. Jack Magruder from Fox Sports with us, covers the Diamondbacks. Well, imitation is the best part of flattery, and I guess they're imitating the Giants now. Can they imitate the starting pitching? And that's really the dividing point for most people who look at the Diamondbacks. What kind of starting pitching do they really have?
Yeah, you're right. That is what it gets down to. And the D-backs, certainly, and everybody in baseball is aware of that. I mean, you look what the Dodgers did, the guys they added, the Kane, Bumgarner, Vogelsong, Timmy out there. Ian Kennedy is a little bit underrated, I think. He's got the most victories in the National League the last 2 years, which is a little surprising. Yeah, he's got 36. He's got more than, or maybe 35 or 36. I don't have in front of me. But more than Kershaw, more than any of the Giants guys.
Good stat. All right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising because he flies under the radar. He's effective. Cahill learned to pitch in Chase Field as the season went on last year. Trevor Cahill, the former A. They really think they made a nice sign in Brandon McCarthy, too, because he was just kind of coming into his own in Oakland after adapting, you know, going to the two-seamer, getting the ball hit on the ground. As an aside, he made his first he faced hitters for the first time today since getting hit by a line drive in the head, and he looked terrific. He said he was he said he was thinking, you know, I wonder if I throw my first pitch and I'm going to run out to center field and try to get away. That didn't happen, of course. And but they like that addition. They think he'll be fine. Wade Miley was, in my mind, was the National League Rookie of the Year. He didn't win it. Bryce Harper did. But you win 16 games and make 30 starts for a major league team. I'll throw 194 innings. I mean, that's, to me, that's just about as good as it gets. He finished second. So they like those four, and then they got some young kids fighting for the fifth spot. They don't have the ace. They don't have the ace that San Francisco has, but they feel pretty comfortable running four guys out who've got a chance to win that day.
All right, very good. Well, that's something we're going to follow all spring long, and, of course, 19 games against the Giants, Diamondbacks, 19 against each team in the division. I think it's like the old Pac-10 or Pac-12, whatever you want to call it, the SEC. These National League West games are all going to be very, very competitive. And it'll be fun watching it develop in spring training and, of course, into the season. So, Jack, thank you so much for jumping on with us, and I appreciate your work for Fox.
Thanks for having me, Marty. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very good. I'll see you out at the ballpark.
Take care of yourself.
All right, that is Jack Magruder. So, as I say, Raph will get these interviews up on my page or my website, loveofthegameproductions.com. But good insight.